Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
In this bulletin, Clean Energy Symposium puts Indigenous Australians at the forefront of Australia's energy transition. Treasurer Jim Chalmers says Australians can expect a restrained and measured budget. And AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine withdrawn from markets worldwide. First Nations Clean Energy Symposium is looking to ensure Indigenous Australians are central to the nation's energy transition. Co-chair of the First Nations Clean Energy Network, Karina Nolan, says there is strong potential to build on 15 established First Nations Clean Energy Project partnerships. She is among the 40-odd speakers at a First Nations Clean Energy Symposium in Adelaide on Wednesday and Thursday. The event will focus on ensuring First Nations communities are central in Australia's energy transition and highlight the need for swift action. It brings together hundreds of First Nations leaders and community members, representatives of government, industry and unions, and academics and experts. Treasurer Jim Chalmers says the Australian public should expect a measured budget to manage inflation. He says there will be cost of living assistance for Australians, but insists such measures must not contribute to worsening inflation. He told ABCRN the government has already made positive steps for the economy, including bringing down debt and delivering the first surplus in 15 years. Dr. Chalmers added that he's in frequent conversation with RBA Governor Michelle Bullock.
I really respect the difficult job that Governor Bullock has to do. I believe that she respects the difficult job that I have to do and that we have to do in the budget. We don't tell each other how to do each other's jobs, but we are on the same page when it comes to getting inflation down, because it is inflation which is punishing people, and that's why the progress we've made is so important. And that's why it's so important that we shoot for this second surplus and that we design our cost of living policies in a way that put downward pressure on inflation rather than upward pressure on inflation.
This comes as the Reserve Bank left the cash rate unchanged at 4.35% on May 7th, following a two-day meeting of the RBA's board members. And Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is speaking at a business summit in Western Australia, promoting renewable energy and the government's Future Made in Australia Act. The PM says it's vital that Australia promotes domestic manufacturing and investment to enhance national capabilities. He says Western Australia has an important role in this future, including in critical minerals and infrastructure. Mr. Albanese said investment in renewable energy will be a key focus of the upcoming federal budget, flagging tax changes and hundreds of millions of dollars in energy investment.
Being able to power refining, processing and manufacturing with clean energy becomes more valuable for sellers. More and more Australians make use of renewable energy in their daily lives. And by using clean energy to power heavy industry, we can make Australia a renewable energy superpower.
COVID-19 vaccine AstraZeneca is being withdrawn from shelves worldwide. The UK Telegraph reports the vaccine can no longer be used in the European Union after the company voluntarily withdrew its marketing authorisation. The application to withdraw the vaccine was made on March the 5th and came into effect on May the 7th, according to the report, which adds that similar applications would be made in the United Kingdom and other countries that had approved the vaccine, known as Vaxzevria, in the coming months. The AstraZeneca vaccine has come under intense scrutiny in recent months over a very rare side effect which causes blood clots and low blood platelet counts. AstraZeneca is yet to respond to a request for comment. And China's foreign ministry has accused Australia of acting in a threatening way near Chinese airspace. This comes as Australia condemned the actions of a Chinese jet fighter after it dropped flares in front of a Navy helicopter, with the Prime Minister labelling it unprofessional and unacceptable. An Australian Navy Seahawk helicopter was forced to take evasive action to prevent being hit by flares launched by a J-10 Chinese Air Force plane on Saturday evening, according to Defence Minister Richard Miles. Senator Matt Canavan has told Channel 9 it's vital to stand up for the rights of all countries to use international airspace.
So, I mean, the statement from the Chinese government there admits that the Australian aircraft wasn't in their airspace, and it's a bit rich for China to be upset about an aircraft going close to their airspace, not in their airspace, close to it, when their own military regularly flies through Taiwanese airspace on a daily basis. What we have to do right now here is be very clear about what we stand for and the status of our relationships with other countries around the world.
The United States Assistant Under Secretary of State Daniel Kritenbrink said China's military was expected to act in a safe and professional manner. And a Hamas official has warned there will be no ceasefire deal if Israel's military offensive in Rafah continues. A statement from the group said Osama Hamdan's comments were made during a press conference in Beirut as a delegation of Hamas arrived in Cairo from Doha to continue ceasefire negotiations. Israeli forces have seized the main border crossing between Egypt and southern Gaza, shutting down an aid route into the Palestinian enclave that is already on the brink of famine. Head of the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in the occupied Palestinian territory, Andrea Di Domenico, says the closure of the Rafah border bears serious humanitarian consequences.
The closure of Rafah crossing has severed access to fuel for humanitarian activities, the entry of critical humanitarian items, and curtailed the movement of staff. Protection of civilians for us remain essential, of course, as it is humanitarian asset and supplies, and we are seeking assurances from all parties to the conflict that they should help us to protect those and ensure respect of civilians.
But Israeli officials say a deal can still be achieved with Hamas for a ceasefire in Gaza, even though the ground offensive in Rafah has already begun. The conditions of the agreement have yet to be made public, but one of the main terms is considered to be the release of the remaining hostages captured during the October 7 raids. Israeli army footage showed tanks rolling through the Rafah crossing complex and the Israeli flag raised on the Gaza side. Benjamin Netanyahu said seizing the crossing was a very significant step towards Israelis' stated aim of destroying Hamas military capabilities. This comes as the head of the humanitarian services for Oxfam Australia, Lucia Goldsmith, is calling on the Australian government to put more pressure on Israel to not proceed with the ground offensive in Rafah. It comes after Israel carried out strikes in Rafah and told Palestinians to evacuate parts of the city, which has been a refuge for more than a million displaced people. Ms. Goldsmith says the federal government can be doing more to help Gaza receive more aid.
There is a lot more that could be done in terms of pressure on Israel to allow more aid to enter into Gaza, as well as political pressure on Israel to not proceed with the offensive.
And TikTok and its Chinese parent company ByteDance have filed a lawsuit in the US federal court seeking to block a law signed by President Joe Biden that would force the divestiture of the short-form video app used by 170 million Americans. The companies on Tuesday filed their lawsuit in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, arguing that the law violates the U.S. Constitution on a number of grounds, including challenging First Amendment free speech protections. The law, signed by Biden on April 24, gives ByteDance until January 19. 2019 to sell TikTok or face a ban. The lawsuit said the divestiture is simply not possible, not commercially, not technologically, and not legally. The White House has said it wants to see Chinese-based ownership ended on national security grounds, but not a ban on TikTok. The White House and Justice Department declined to comment on the lawsuit. And the president, as we now look at sport, the president of the Australian Olympic Committee believes plans for the Brisbane Olympics are still in good shape, despite the Queensland government ruling out the construction of a new stadium for the Games. Head of the Australian Olympic Committee, Ian Chesterman, told Channel 9 he's not concerned about a change of government as the Games are still 8 years away. Both major parties have ruled out construction of a brand new Victoria Park Stadium, as well as proposals to rebuild the Gabba Stadium. Mr. Chesterman told Channel 9 any plans are up to Queenslanders to decide on.
Brisbane people might want that, but it's really up to the Brisbane people through their government to decide what facilities are built in Queensland. When I gave the speech at our annual general meeting on the weekend, my focus is actually about the legacy of these games for people and the way that these games can be used to inspire the next generation.
And now a look at today's weather across this beautiful nation of ours. Perth, sunny, 25. Adelaide, similar conditions, 23 today. Melbourne in Nam, partly cloudy, 17. Hobart, much the same, 17 degrees. Canberra, cloudy, 17. Wollongong, showers, 19. Sydney, much the same and 21 degrees. Newcastle, shower or two, 22 degrees today. And Brisbane, shower or two, 25. Cairns, showers and 29. And Darwin today, mostly sunny and 33 degrees.